Hi everyone, welcome back to the Now Bali podcast with me, Eddie Spears. For today's episode, we go back to our original format as we explore the intricacies of Balinese culture in an effort to untangle some of its more complex concepts and share interesting insights so that you can have a better grasp of what you see and experience around you on the island of the gods. Our subject today is perhaps one of the most central aspects in Balinese Hindu ritual life. That is the Pawukon calendar. Bali follows two cycles, the Saka calendar and the Pawukon calendar, and auspicious days of the year are defined by these, but certainly more so in the Pawukon, as we will hear today. It's incredibly intricate, but I believe at the end of today's episode, you'll have a much better general understanding of how the ritual cycles work. Now, this episode comes from an article in Timeless Bali Volume 3, the third iteration in our annual publication series, released in August 2023. It's a publication dedicated to history, culture, nature, with in-depth destination guides, perspective pieces, and much more. It's now Bali's highlight reel, our greatest hits. This series of publications is a gateway into understanding more about Bali. So if you're interested in purchasing a copy, please go to nowbali.co.id to find out more and check the show notes for a direct link. That's one way you can support us. Talking about supporting us, a big thank you to our podcast partners, Genesis Creative Center in Brawa, Bali, home to music, podcast, video, and photography studios. This is where we and many other content creators record their work. All equipment and setup is done by their very professional team. Thank you, Genesis, who you can follow at inspire@genesis on Instagram. Now, on with the show. Cycles and Symbolism, Decoding the Pawukon Calendar, by Jean Couteau, edited by Edward Spears. The Balinese Hindu have a day dedicated to the goddess of knowledge, Saraswati. She's said to rule over books, lontar manuscripts, and all objects associated to providing or obtaining knowledge. On her festival day, all of these objects may not be used, and they are presented with offerings. The ritual is done in one's private house for one's own books, but one also visits, with offerings, all the Balian Usada, or traditional doctors, or other people of knowledge one may have consulted since the previous Hari Saraswati, or Saraswati Day. Among the offerings, one usually finds a unique rice effigy in the shape of two geckos, male and female. The gecko, known locally as the chichak, is the traditional symbol of Saraswati. The gecko is said to have a spiritual sensitivity with the dimensions of Purusa and Pradana, the male and female aspects, respectively. Together, these aspects are considered the source of life, but also the chichak listens to people's secrets, even in their private chambers, like the Western parallel of being a fly on the wall. It is thus all-knowing. Hari Saraswati, or the Day of Knowledge, takes place on the last day of the 210-day Pawukon calendar. This comprises of 30 weeks of 7 days. Why does the Day of Knowledge fall on this particular day? The Pawukon calendar is referenced for Bali's many rituals, defining the days of market and most temple anniversaries. Hari Saraswati and the names of all the individual weeks are related to the Balinese story of the prohibition of incest. Yes, Bali's own Oedipus tale. The Watugunung myth. In this long-known myth, Watugunung, an ancient king, commits a mortal sin. He unknowingly makes love to his own mother, Sinta. After running away as a child, the supernaturally gifted Watugunung grew to become a powerful ruler. He defeated and took over 27 kingdoms, presiding over their princes, or Wuku. In search of a queen, he was advised to take the two princesses of Jalang Sanggara. They are named Sinta and Landup, who had been abandoned by their own king. Watugunung took them both as his wives. Much time later, it was revealed that these princesses were in fact his mother and his stepmother. Watugunung's unnatural action was discovered by the gods who, after much conflict, were able to defeat him. He was killed numerous times by the god Vishnu, only to be resurrected by Siwa. It was decided that instead of eternal damnation for his sins, Watugunung was to be made an example for humankind. This would be done by making him the protector of the calendar and the master of its final week. This story forms the structure of the Pawukon calendar. Sinta, Landup, Watugunung, and the 27 princes make up the 30 wuku, or weeks, of the calendar. Sinta marks the first week, and the final week is Watugunung, commemorating the character's descent and downfall, and finally, on the last day, his enlightenment. This is Hari Saraswati, the day of knowledge. This is the separation of the incestuous son and mother, a cleansing marked by the start of a new calendar cycle. Watugunung thus becomes a martyr of humankind, his sins forever to be an example and a reminder. At the same time as Watugunung's enlightenment by the gods, mankind was bestowed with wariga, knowledge of time and calendar. Thus, the calendar is not simply a measure of time, it is symbolic of and provides guidance for cosmic order. This is why the Pawukon calendar is at the center of ritual schedule here in Bali. Cycles of the Pawukon. Okay, here it gets a little complicated, so listen closely. As mentioned, the Pawukon calendar is a total of 210 days. The 30 weeks, or wuku, of 7 days is one of the cycles in the calendar. But there are other cycles that run inside the 210 days. What do I mean by cycles? Let's use a month as an example. Say a month is 28 days. This can be divided into 4 weeks of 7 days, as we normally have. Or it can be divided into other cycles. By that I mean the 28 days might be divided into 2 weeks of 14 days, or 14 weeks of 2 days. In the Pawukon calendar, we have the wuku cycle and another called the wara cycle. The wara has 1 day to 10 day cycles. These wara each have a name and a value defined by its positioning on the cosmic rose of the wind, the pangider-ider, a day for each wind direction, with its associated gods, colors, and more. The most important wara, for ritual purposes, are the 3 day cycle, triwara, the 5 day cycle, panchawara, and the 7 day cycle, saptawara. The way the days of these various waras add up define the pure or impure quality of the day in question. In this complex computation, how specific days of one wara overlaps with a day of another wara is what defines auspiciousness, or indeed inauspiciousness, of a specific date. This ability to decode the calendars is what is the art of a wariga, and is why the Balinese will seek the consultation of priests and holy scholars to find good days for specific ceremonies, from weddings to matata tooth filings and ngaben ceremonies. Cyclical auspicious days also occur every 210 days, the most important of which occur during an overlap day with Kliwon, the 5th day of the 5 day cycle. For example, an important ritual day occurs when the Kliwon intersects with Kajung, the 3rd day of the 3 day cycle, making what is known as Kajung Kliwon. This is when one makes offerings to the demonic forces. This therefore takes place every 15 days, based on the frequency of the intersections. Another highly important intersection is between the Saniskara, 7th day of the 7 day cycle, and Kliwon, the 5th day of the 5 day cycle. On the 7 day cycle, Saturday is considered the last day of the week. And when this overlaps with Kliwon, we get Saniskara Kliwon, better known as the Tumpuk ritual days. Now, you've probably heard of Tumpuk. They take place every 35 days, and the Tumpuk days mark the date of what may be Bali's most recognizable ceremonies. Each is dedicated or pays homage to a particular aspect of Balinese life. There are 6 Tumpuk days, which are Tumpuk Landup, honoring weapons and metal objects, Tumpuk Udu, honoring plants and vegetation, Tumpuk Kuningan, honoring ancestors, Tumpuk Krulut, dedicated to music, Tumpuk Kandang, a blessing of animals, and Tumpuk Wayang. Each Tumpuk also pays homage to a different deity associated with that particular aspect of life. Hopefully what this demonstrates is that a calendar in Bali is more than just a means to measure time. Its very origins heavily imbued with moralistic symbolism, though perhaps lost on today's generation. And its inner workings are dense with important religious interconnections. This is only the tip of the iceberg when it comes to understanding the full breadth and depth of the Pawukon calendar. but it certainly provides an important foundation to make sense of the whirring cycles of ceremonies we see around us here on the island of the gods. So, are you still confused? Or have you cracked the code of the Pawukon calendar in one listen? It's a lot to take in and digest. And that's why, if you've made it this far, we'd like to reward you with a transcript of this episode so that you can follow along and make sense of the numbers and cycles and names thrown at you throughout this episode. You can download the transcript from the link in the show notes. A little snippet of Timeless Bali, Volume 3, just for you. Thank you so much for listening to the Now Bali podcast with me, Eddie Spears. I'd really just like to ask if you enjoy our content, that you maybe share with a friend, rate us on your podcast platform, follow and subscribe, and just help this audience grow. That would mean a lot to us. Otherwise, you can also follow us on social media or even buy a copy of Timeless Bali. We'll continue to share cultural explanations or indeed our extra special episodes featuring an interview with interesting guests from Bali. Thanks again to our partners, Genesis Creative Center, and to you for listening. See you next time.